And now let's go to Speaking of Listening with Dr. Arnie Buss. Now, he received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. And he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. And he works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. In the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. And he teaches those classes here as well. He's a distinguished Toastmaster, and in 2011, he was the semi-finalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. Let's listen to Dr. Arnie Buss in Speaking of Listening.
Well, thank you, Solazar, and this is Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. And as Solazar said, I'm your host for this segment, Arnie Buss. Speaking of Listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart and communicating from your heart. And as mentioned, I will be giving workshops on effective communication and relationship building. And to find out more information, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousaware.com or visit my webpage, which is www.aconsciousawareheart.com. And as I always say, that listening is not just about hearing what the other person is saying. It's about going much deeper. And today I'm going to go a little bit deeper into what the role of communication is in relationships. The title of my seminars is Effective Communication and Relationship Building, and the two go hand in hand. If you talk to counselors and therapists about what the single most important thing is in any relationship, the topic of communication is always very high, if not the number one issue. And it's a failure to communicate, to quote the movie, that often leads to breakdowns in relationships. So today I'm going to first talk about the role of communication in relationships, and then I'm going to talk about the role of self-esteem in communication and in relationships, and specifically talk about how self-esteem forms the foundation of effective relationships and how compromised self-esteem can basically create problems, and ultimately, in my view, is the source of all relationship problems. And then I'll give a few suggestions about how to build your self-esteem. That topic, of course, is a very, very big one and maybe deserves many segments just on its own, but I'll give you a few highlights of that. So first, the role of communication in relationships. Now, every relationship is built on some level of intimacy. And we often associate intimacy with physical intimacy or sex, and that's certainly a form of intimacy. But ultimately, intimacy is really about communication, and it's about heart-centered communication. So intimacy is about sharing what's going on inside of you with the other person. It's sharing your innermost thoughts and feelings with them, and that can be very scary. That can make you, because it makes you very vulnerable. There are things that we think and things that we feel that we might feel very uncomfortable about sharing with the other person. But it's in that sharing that creates the closeness. It creates knowing who the other person is. Without that intimacy, what you see is like a mask that the person is wearing. And if we don't share our innermost thoughts and feelings, again, we are sharing a front. We're sharing an image of what we hope the other person will like, or an image of what we hope we are like. But that's not necessarily who we are. Usually that isn't who we are. So intimacy is about sharing our innermost thoughts and feelings. Now, the thing about sharing is that there are two parts, just like, and that's why it's so connected to communication. There's the one who expresses their inner thoughts and feelings, And then there's the one who receives and takes in those inner thoughts and feelings of the other person. And when you're receiving communication from the other person, that's in the realm of this listening approach that I've been calling tracking. And with tracking, that helps you understand that you're really getting the message that the other person is conveying, and it also communicates to them that you're getting the message. So in addition to just sending the message and receiving the message, it's not as simple as that. I can say something, and you may hear something else entirely, or the words that I say may mean something entirely different to you than they mean to me. And so the beauty of tracking is it helps put us both on the same page with regards to what is being expressed. Now, tracking the other person that is receiving their communication can be very challenging, especially when they're expressing something that's either a difficult feeling or they're expressing something that you disagree with. And those are the two most challenging parts, because especially if we're in a relationship with somebody that we care very deeply about, you know, we don't want to see them have painful feelings. We don't want to see them sad or unhappy or expressing that they're feeling lonely. I mean, we want them to have good feelings. But the fact is that feelings are both positive and negative. We have comfortable feelings, and we have happy feelings, and we have some difficult and challenging feelings. And my experience has been that the greatest intimacy is actually created when we share those difficult feelings. And unfortunately, it's those difficult and painful feelings that we're most often not likely to be sharing. We may be afraid of what the other person is going to think of us if we express our sadness or our fear to them. So we want to put on a brave front. Or we may be concerned that, okay, if I express my fears, maybe they'll become overly worried about me, and I don't want them to worry about me, so I just won't share something. And every time that you don't share like that, then you are missing out on an opportunity for intimacy. In other words, you're withholding a part of yourself from that other person that they don't get to see. And the thing is that there are many facets to each of us. And the beauty of relationships is that we have the opportunity to really share those. So when we are receiving communication, then there are challenges, such as when there are difficult feelings, or when we disagree with it, or when what we're hearing is leading to a conflict. But those are all opportunities. Now, the other side is when we express to the other person. We express our innermost thoughts and our innermost feelings. And there, the structure that I've talked about in earlier segments, I call an impact statement, is what's a valuable structure for that. Now, the specifics of an impact statement, I usually talk about in terms of something that we want to change. But if I'm simply expressing what's going on for me, then I can use exactly the same structure. And one of the key points in there is to only use the pronoun I and never use the pronoun you. In fact, I recommend avoiding the pronoun you altogether when expressing my thoughts and feelings, because I want to make it all about me, you know, and that may sound egotistical, but in fact I'm sharing what's going on inside of me, and that really doesn't have anything to do with the other person. So avoid you altogether. Now, there's one exception to mixing I and you, and only one, and that's the phrase "I love you." That you're allowed to say. In fact, you should say it often. Now, you may have heard, I'm prone to be somewhat critical of this. You may be familiar with what's called the I message. And the thing about the I message is that right from the get-go, it it violates what I'm telling you about the use of the pronoun you, because a typical I message will start with the words when you're late, when you do this, then blah, 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 you know. And whenever you hear the word you in a context like that, then that usually causes, you know, shields up on the other person. You know, they know that something bad is coming, and so they'll tend to be, defensive, and it'll be difficult for them to even take in what you're saying, even if they want to. The key is whether you're receiving or expressing, to never make anybody wrong. Never make anybody wrong. And what I mean by that is to not criticize, judge, or blame. And that applies both to the other person as well as yourself. And I want to talk about how it applies to yourself. And that's how the self-esteem forms the foundation of all good relationships. In fact, all relationships are built on the self-esteem of the people in the relationships. And if the self-esteem is a solid one, then the relationship tends to be strong. If you have good self-esteem, you can communicate even when it's about difficult things. Even having good self-esteem allows you to be vulnerable in sharing your difficult feelings, or to express your fears or your anxieties, or to express thoughts that you're conflicted about. They can also help you effectively solve conflicts together, because you can take the conflict and deal with the conflict instead of taking everything personally. You can in places where a natural resolution doesn't automatically come out, you can effectively negotiate to a mutually satisfactory outcome when both of you have a solid self-esteem. On the other hand, when one or both of you have a compromised self-esteem, the relationship tends to suffer. Having a compromised self-esteem means that there are wounded places still in you, and those wounded places tend to get triggered when you hear certain things. When you hear a difficult thought or a conflict or something that you disagree with, and your self-esteem is compromised, then it tends to trigger you in those wounded places. If your self-esteem is compromised, then it's hard for you to be with someone who's expressing a difficult, painful feeling, either because you tend to take it on too much, or you tend to try to get them to not feel that way. And also, if your self-esteem is compromised, expressing your own difficult thoughts or feelings, you might tend to avoid it altogether. And that leads to what I mentioned before, where all of a sudden now there are places inside of you that you're not sharing with that other person. And that means that the intimacy is compromised. And certainly in an intimate relationship, having intimacy be compromised is not good for the relationship. Now, you may be thinking of a relationship that doesn't involve, an intimate partner. You know, it may be a friend, a colleague, somebody at work. But even there, the same principles apply. It's just that there certainly are certain thoughts and feelings that you don't share with such people that you would share with an intimate partner. But the same principle applies. Within the boundaries of what that relationship entails, then there should be enough room for you to be able to express what's going on for you in a way that doesn't make the other person wrong, and certainly doesn't make yourself wrong. So having a solid self-esteem makes it possible to be empathetic even when you're disagreeing with somebody. And remember, empathy is not about agreeing. Empathy is about being able to see the other person's point of view, to be able to, even though you may not be feeling exactly the same thing as they are, when they're expressing them, to understand and be there with them. It allows the other person to be autonomous, to be themselves, and it facilitates being open and curious about the other person, and that's really what all relationships are about. You know, it's not just about me. It's being okay. Now, what about? I want to know about you. I want to know you in every way within the confines of the structure of this relationship. And certainly, in an intimate relationship, there are almost no bounds to what is what goes on with that. So, having solid self-esteem is the foundation on which wonderful, loving relationships are built, and it in turn leads to greater intimacy, which in turn leads to more loving and close relationships. And if you find yourself making the other person wrong, that is, if you're criticizing them or blaming them, making it personal about them, remember that it comes from a place where you're making yourself wrong. In other words, before I make another person wrong, it means I'm making myself wrong first. That is, it's a place of my own woundedness, my own compromised self-esteem. So, remember then, when you hear someone else making you wrong, criticizing or blaming you, that it's coming from a place of their compromised self-esteem. And that's what facilitates and enables tracking. It means that when you hear criticism coming at you, you don't have to take it personally. If I have solid self-esteem and somebody has a problem with me and they're coming at me, then I can recognize that it's really about them, about their pain. And that does. I don't say that to excuse anything that I might have done that might have hurt them or that they're not okay with. I'm not saying that to make an excuse about that or to excuse behavior on my part that they're not okay with. But to make it objective, take the personalities out of it. If there's something that I'm doing and someone else feels hurt about it, then I am absolutely clear that it was never my intent to hurt them. And so if they're hurt about it, then it wasn't intentional on my part. And if there's something that I'm doing that is hurting someone else, then that's useful information to me. And so I can see if I can change my behavior. In a way, it's like if you accidentally step on someone's toe. I mean, you weren't doing it deliberately, but it hurt them just as much as if it had been deliberate. And that's how these things often go. So now I want to just talk a little bit about how we can build our self-esteem. Because self-esteem, as I see it, is seeing myself as being worthy simply for being myself. It's the only way, I believe, to see the other person as being worthy simply for being themselves. And I can only see another person as worthy to the extent that I see myself as worthy. In other words, I can only esteem another person to the extent that I esteem myself. And when I say self-esteem, I'm not basing this on any performance or any external criteria. That's why I find that affirmations often fail to boost self-esteem. You know, saying, "Okay, I did so well, you did a great job on that," or "you just really knocked that out of the park." Well, the thing is that affirmations tend to be based on judgment. You know, I'm not saying that they're a bad thing, but if I can judge something as being good, then I can also judge it as being bad. And so it's the judgment itself that can cause the problem. So affirmations tend to tap into that judgment-based thing. For me, self-esteem is not about judgment. It's not about performance. It's not about what I've done. It's about who I am. One step is to just start to get rid of the good, bad, or right, wrong dichotomies as it applies to myself. Another is to work on taming the inner critic. Now, that's another huge topic. But, you know, we seem to have this inner critic, this voice inside ourselves that's kind of beating us up and telling us how bad we are, how we did, you really screwed that one up. Keep in mind that we're all a work in progress, and that, you know, taming the inner critic is one of the most challenging and difficult bit of inner work that anybody can do. you know, so we are a work in progress, and few of us, if any, have 100% intact self-esteem. We all still have wounds that we're still recovering from. But kind of embracing our wounds and kind of allowing ourselves to have those wounds and compromise self-esteem be driving our behavior and our communication, that just leads to, you know, just more problems. And I'm utterly convinced that most problems in relationships can be boiled down to failures of communication, which in turn come from compromised self-esteem. So if I find that I'm being made wrong by somebody, so they're criticizing me, as I said before, if I'm conscious enough and aware enough and esteemed myself enough, then I can recognize that their personal attack is coming from their own compromised self-esteem. Because if their self-esteem was intact and there was something that I was doing that they were not okay with, they would be able to express it without making me wrong. They would be able to say it in such a way that they weren't criticizing or judging or blaming, but pointing out what it is that they wanted changed. In other words, they could be using an impact statement. So, I've talked about the role of communication in relationships, about how relationships are built on self-esteem, either for the good or for the ill, the effects of compromised self-esteem, and just given a few little tips on how you can build your self-esteem. And remember, I can't emphasize this enough, that when I say self-esteem, I don't mean things like affirmations. I mean the inherent worth of each and every person. And as a person, I am worthy and you are worthy. So that has been Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solas Arun Kirilani. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. Thank you so much for joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every first and third Thursday at 5:35 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about effective listening and much more in my workshops on effective communication and relationship building, you can email me at ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart, all one word, .com. ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. My webpage is www.consciousawareheart.com. You can like me on Facebook at Aware Heart or follow me on Twitter at Effect5Com. That's Effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
So, Arnie, if I picked it up clearly, it's never about you.
It never is.
About me.
Or as we like to sometimes say, now you can be egomaniac, you know, egotistical about it. So enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I encourage people to certainly go to consciousawareheart.com or to get in touch with AHBuss at, was that at Gmail? I'm sorry. Or
no, AHBuss@consciousawareheart.com.
There you go. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Thank you very much. Talk to you then.
Bye-bye.